You're spoiling the effect here, Roger. Spoiling the effect. If only I could moonwalk. Actually, you're not running, are you? You're all sitting down. But don't you know we're in a race? You've got to run. Or maybe you need a bit of coaching and the opportunity for me to stop for a minute. So the effort I went to today. Just to play the part. You were all wondering, weren't you? Why is he dressed like that? The image we've been using for this series, a series of footprints in the sand, I suppose, suggests a walk. And although through sand sometimes not always easy, is it? The idea was to convey a journey that we're travelling through life and living by faith. And it isn't always easy, is it? And indeed, the Old Testament characters that we've been looking at for these last few weeks, most of them didn't have it easy. And I guess that's why they were commended, because they walked through the difficulties in their life, clinging on to a faithful God. They were commended for their faith and for the journey that they made. Sorry, a bit out of breath here. And now we come to the last in this series. And we find that the writer to the Hebrews is encouraging his readers to keep going on in their journey of faith. And so it applies to us today, that we might go on in our journey of faith. And he alters the imagery slightly, and he calls the Christian life a race, running the race. So where are you? Where are you in the race? Maybe some of you actually haven't got into the starting blocks yet, and you're still in the changing room, as it were. Maybe because you haven't actually fully grasped the faith yet for yourselves. Maybe you're just out of the blocks and have begun the race. Or actually, maybe you're somebody who can see the end in sight. You've heard the bell for the last lap. But I guess for most of us, we're in mid-race. So as mid-race people, how is that race going? Full of energy, handily placed, ready for the next lap and a surge for the lead? Or maybe actually weary and losing heart? Marking time, being lapped, maybe tempted to drop out of the running. The situation the writer is addressing, as I think we've said several times over these weeks, is that these Hebrew Christians exploded out of their blocks and ran so well for such a good time. They were converts from Judaism to the Christian faith. They'd find real truth and life in Christ. But from the start, the wind of persecution was blowing into their face. And as they were running, it was harder and harder to run against it. There was persecution from the Jews because they'd converted to Christianity. There was persecution from the Romans because they saw Christianity as some sort of movement that could actually unsteady the whole Roman Empire. So from the start, this whole wind of persecution was blowing against them. And there's a chapter and verse, chapter 10 and verse 32, that just sums up, I think, where they'd come to. It says, "Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground." It's not a very good analogy for a race, I know. "When you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering." So they know what it is to run into this headwind of persecution and suffering and still to be standing as Christian people. And yet the writer, wants to write to encourage them to keep on going and not to drop out. It's energy sapping, isn't it, when things are against you? I guess the pressures on us are different. Persecution isn't an issue for us in this country, certainly not at the level that these Hebrew Christians were facing. Although it is, of course, for our brothers and sisters in other countries around the world. For us, you know, maybe it's societal pressures which are increasingly being seen. We can't preach openly about Christ in the marketplace in case we offend others, or some of the things we say might offend others. Perhaps we're being told that we must accept teaching about different moral and ethical things that perhaps we can't agree with because, you know, Scripture says something differently. Or perhaps it's a lack of persecution or pressure in our lives that's spoiling our race. Because it can work that way, can't it? Perhaps it's too easy, you know, and there's nothing to fight for us. And it's so easy then, isn't it, to live Monday to Friday with our secular hat on, masking our faith perhaps, but then to slip our halos on Sunday. And sometimes that's the kind of race we lead. Maybe it's just life's pressures that's making you weary. You know, the busyness of your life or the business that you're in, your finances are tricky, your family are difficult. You know, maybe you're just tired of running in this race. Well, whatever it is, if you're feeling like that at all, then this coach is writing to you. And if you're not feeling like that today, you may do in weeks to come. And so this coach is writing to you. This whole letter is a pep talk to the team. You know, don't settle for second best. Don't settle for less than what God has and wants for you. Jesus is the best and only way. Come on, keep running. Go for it. Hang in there. God's picked you for his team, and he needs you in a way to do things that only you can do. So we're going to read these verses, these last verses of this passage of chapter 11 and into chapter 12. So chapter 11, verse 39, is speaking about all those who've gone before, all those who've looked at in these last few weeks. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer or author and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I pick out four top tips as your coach today. Coaching tip number one, soak up the atmosphere. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. You often hear football managers say that the crowd today were like an extra player. Or a good crowd behind you is worth a goal in a game. The crowd here, watching us, are more than just watchers cheering us on. See, they're not witnesses of us. They're witnesses to us. They're witnesses to us of the faithfulness of God to them as they ran their race. Chapter 11, the writer lists all these great heroes of the faith. No, he doesn't, does he? He lists all the heroes of great faith. Actually, they were just ordinary people. They were just you and me. They all had faults and weaknesses. They all had convictions, not all, but some of them had convictions for various crimes. They all had temptations. Noah, for all his ark building, he then proceeds to get drunk and naked and becomes an embarrassment to his family. Yet he's listed as an heir of righteousness. Abraham lied about Sarah being his wife or his sister, and yet became an heir of the promise of God. Moses was a murderer and yet was used by God. Rahab was a prostitute, yet was used by God. They showed great faith in God and they were commended for it. They ran their race. They finished their race. And they wait for their reward. They are, they were, and they are witnesses to the faithfulness of God when the going got tough in their lives. And now as the going gets tough in the Hebrews' lives, and as the going gets tough in our lives as we run our race, the writer says, take inspiration from them. Draw strength from them. Soak up the atmosphere of those who are cheering us on, those who have gone before. Second top tip, get stripped for action. Just this, that's all. It's a bit odd now. Get stripped for action. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. You don't see too many athletes, do you, when you think about it, on the Olympics or wherever, starting with big boots, a heavy trousers, a shirt and a jumper and a jacket and a great coat and a backpack. You just don't see it, do you? Just the opposite. Sometimes the briefest of shorts or lycra. You know, nothing flapping, is there? Do you know? You often wonder if they could shave their ears off. You know, that would help, wouldn't it? Because like the wind resistance to their ears. Sometimes there's not enough material to pin their number on, so they stick it to their legs. And neither are they fat or heavy. They're all lean running machines. Anything that might hinder movement or prevent running to their full potential is gone. They're a lean, mean running machine. It's obvious, isn't it? And yet, with no offence meant to anybody here, the average Christian running their race, I'm not going to say this, I'm sorry, no, but I was going to contrast somebody with somebody famous with somebody famous, really. I won't do it, it's not fair on that person. But we need to be thinner, is what I'm trying to say. We need to throw off everything that hinders. So what hindered us in our Christian race? Perhaps we need to take off the tracksuit of worldly attitudes. Perhaps we need to strip off the sweatshirt of selfish materialism. Perhaps we need to disrobe ourselves of the jogging pants of just can't be botheredness, or the lead boots of compromise with the standards of the world. These things are hindrances. And we're all guilty of them, aren't we, in one way or another. These are things, though, that get us off to a flying stop, as one commentator says. Famous missionary C.T. Studd had inherited £20,000 from his family. It was a fortune in the late 1800s when he began his missionary work. He decided to give it away. He said it was a hindrance to the work that God had called him to do, which was to be a missionary to the poor. You know, what are your hindrances? What is holding you back? We're all different, it'll all be different things, but the root of all hindrance, I suspect, is actually we're more concerned with us, with ourselves, with me, than we are with him. So we need to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. I guess it gets personal, doesn't it? Which sin entangles you? You may have heard me speak about our Henry vacuum cleaner before, have you?
Yeah.
Thanks, Mark. I've still got one here, I think. John, have we still got a Henry here? Just hanging on in there, is it? You know what Henry looks like, don't you? Cute face, little eyes, sort of nose, which is the suction tube. Quite a long one, so you can reach the floor and all that kind of stuff. And a wire that sort of wraps around inside it, so that, and he's got wheels, so that when you pull him, the wire extends and he follows you around the house from wherever you are. Great idea. And I can remember hoovering once. Jan's not here. She wouldn't be laughing at this point because she can't remember that, I'm sure. And you know, you sort of started in one room, plugged him in, started in one room, did all that was fine. Went out into the hall and sort of, which was like a 180 sort of thing, down the hall and was hoovering down the hall and got so far and couldn't go any further. And when I went back and had a look, Henry had run over the cable and got the cable trapped around his wheel, and he'd fallen over his nose, and so I'd pulled him, and it had all got tangled up together. And I mean, Henry was going nowhere. Do you know what I mean? He was entangled and going nowhere until he was untangled. And Henry suffers from his wire and his nose like we suffer with sin. Bad habits, perhaps. We've all got them. Secret sins. Although they're not secret from everyone, are they? Open sins sometimes. Persistent sins. Or one-off sins. Things we do that we shouldn't. Things we don't do that we should. These things cling to us and trip us up in the race of life. Ray Brown, a Baptist minister, once principal of Spurgeon's College, wrote a book on Hebrews and said this: before we know where we are, we've been tripped up and hurled to the ground in a race which had all the possibilities of a triumphant victory. Hurled to the ground in a race which had all the possibilities of a triumphant victory. That's so easy to read these words, isn't it? Let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily tangles. It's not easy. It's not easy. Nobody's pretending that it is. It's tough. And the spirit is willing sometimes, but the flesh is weak. I've been talking to a guy outside who struggles with alcohol addiction, and he so wants to change, but just can't help himself. It's not easy. I'm not pretending it's easy to cast off these things. But do you know, in Christ, and we've celebrated this morning, we're delivered from the penalty of sin. God declares us righteous, innocent, forgiven. But also with his spirit within, we are being delivered from the power of sin. We are able, with his help, to resist the things that would trip us up. Not easy, but the possibility of there, with his help, to throw it off. So we need to get stripped for action. Third coaching tip: we need to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. No clever title here, just the scripture, which says it all. Run with perseverance. Don't you just hate that word? Perseverance. It's a dirty word, isn't it? A dirty word in an instant age. What do we want? We want to be perfect. When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want? We want my preaching to save souls. When do we want it?
Now.
Yeah. I'm glad you're keeping up here, because it'd be awful if you didn't. What do we want? We want the church to be changed. When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want? We want our prayers to heal people instantly. When do we want it?
Now.
And so on. But you know, with a few glorious exceptions, as God allows in his grace, all these things and others what we have written. All of these things and others beside in our Christian race require perseverance. Paul wrote to the Romans, and in chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, he said this. Paul knew what it was, didn't he, to persevere and being in prison so much and shipwrecks and all of that kind of stuff. We know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. It actually says, we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Perseverance is what we need. We need to run with perseverance this race marked out for us, even when the going gets tough, particularly when the going gets tough. Marathon runners refer to a phenomenon called hitting the wall. And all will be going swimmingly, everything seems to be okay. I think it's around about 18, 20 miles out of the 26. Then with no warning, suddenly they hit the wall. And it's not like a brick wall, but it feels like it. Their body runs out of steam. They're sapped of strength so much. And they have this overwhelming desire to stop and to pack it in, to give up. And it seems, and I'm not speaking from experience here, I have to say, the way to get through it is perseverance. To run through it, and your body then feeds you the energy you need to carry on. Let's be under no illusions. The Christian race isn't always easy. That come to Jesus and live happily ever after has a lovely ring to it. And perhaps once you've got your feet up in glory, if that's what happens when we get to glory and we look back, we'll think, yeah, come to Jesus. Yeah, happily ever after. But during the race, it can be tough. All those things we spoke about at the beginning, those are things, aren't they? And you'll have different things in your lives. There are things that make this race tough times, sometimes. Sometimes when we wonder whether God's really there, whether God's really listening to our prayers, whether any of this ever really happened. In fact, the Greek word used here for race is agon, from which we get agony. Elsewhere, it's translated as struggle or fight. Here it's race. But there's this expectation, perhaps, of suffering, of agony in our race. Sometimes we'll hit the wall, and it is agony. And the top tip is to persevere. The race marked out for us. And just notice that, marked out for us. Who's marked it out for us? It's the Lord, isn't it? This is the way he wants us to run. These things are part of our life, because he's allowed them to be there that we might grow and walk through them with him, as tough as they are sometimes. William Barclay says, this kind of perseverance isn't a weary resignation which simply accepts things. That's fatalism. This kind of perseverance is a perseverance which masters things and gets things done. So having soaked up the atmosphere and stripped for action and run with perseverance, top tip number 4, focus on the goal. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. They say that many a potential gold medal has become a silver or worse because an athlete looks across just to see where his opposition or her opposition is. And that split second of indecision, that shortened stride, that dip of the shoulder, is enough just to slow you down, just enough for whoever's next to you to take you on the line, and the race is lost. Linford Christie talks about this, and you can watch this, I think, on YouTube. As he comes into the stadium and the crowd is all cheering, he's focused. He's got his bag or whatever they carry, a tray, a basket. And as he's stripping of his tracksuit, you know, he's focused on what he's doing. As they line up along the track, he's focused down the track. As the camera comes in front of each of them and introduces each of them, you know, some of them are going, "Hi, Mum," like this. I probably won't, but that effect. But Linford is focused. You know, as he gets into his blocks, he's focused on the finishing tape, on the goal. As he runs and he focuses. You can see him in this picture, just focused on the goal. And he won the gold medal in 1992. So our coach is saying, look, in the same way, in a similar sort of way, fix your eyes on Jesus. As the author of our faith, you know, he's planned our course, the race marked out for us, and he's picked us for his team, and he's called us to follow him. And as the perfecter of our faith, he's already run the course. He's already pioneered the way. He's gone before us. He waits to welcome us. And he's waiting for us with the gold medal or its equivalent at the end, you know, a white robe and a victor's crown to wear. The chapter 11 heroes are an inspiration to us. But Jesus, you know, is the true inspiration, isn't he? He's gone to the extreme. He's endured the cross. He's scorned its shame. He's endured opposition from sinful people. And he now enjoys the joy and glory of heaven. He sits at the right hand of the throne of God. That's his reward. And that's our goal. And he awaits us there. And this is where we have an edge, isn't it, over all the runners in Hebrews 11. They ran their race. And as we read at the start, these were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. It's only in Christ that these things come. These folks will receive their reward because of the work that Christ has done. And we are in Christ. We belong to Christ. We're united with him in his death and resurrection. He runs with us and he runs in us. We fix our eyes on him. We run with perseverance. We attain our goal. So focus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. So how are you running this race? Well, I pray that you're running well. But I know that some of you are weary and tired. I know some of you are lacking energy. I know some of you are marking time. Or perhaps settle for second best. Here's some wise words. Charles Swindle said, "Don't give up too soon. Don't relax before the tape. Don't collapse until the finishing line is behind you. Stay on your feet till the end." Isaiah said, "Even youths grow weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint." And the writer to the Hebrews says, "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful people, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." I'm going to pray for all of us now, but just a reminder that there is prayer ministry at the end in that corner over there, some space. If anything we've said or sung or anything meant anything to you, you want prayer for, please do avail yourself of prayer ministry in that corner. Let's pray. So easy, Lord, to let these words wash over us and nod in their direction. Yet, Lord, these are These are important words, just as all of your scripture, Lord, is important. All of the endless sermons, Lord, that we hear are important. And Lord, we hear the reference here, Lord, to running this race. And the call upon us, Lord, to run it in such a way that we bring honour to your name. Run it worthy, Lord, of you. And if we're honest, Lord, we don't always do that all of the time. Sometimes because of the sin that's in our lives, sometimes because of the bad habits that we have. Or sometimes, Lord, it's just so difficult because other things are crowding in and pressuring us. So we pray, Lord, that you would be our inspiration. That you would help us, Lord, to fix our eyes on you and grant the strength we need to resist temptation, to cast off, Lord, the things that hinder and entangle, and, Lord, to run our race with perseverance to the glory of your name. Amen. So we're going to sing, I think, as we